Hey, church leaders, welcome to the Slingshot Group podcast. I'm your host, Tim Foote, CEO of Slingshot Group, where we build remarkable teams through staffing and coaching. And today on the show, we're going to do something a little different. We talk a lot about how this podcast is for you, the church leader. You're committed to leading something bigger than you and leading it in a healthy way. And we talk a lot about that spectrum between toxic and healthy, and in the middle is dysfunction. Truth is, every organization has a level of dysfunction. If we're unaware of it or ignore it, we can become toxic. If we're aware of it and committed to health, that moves towards healthy. Well, recently, my good friend, Jesse DeYoung, who's the executive lead pastor at Flatirons Community Church in the Denver area, invited me to come talk to his whole staff in an all-staff meeting. And it was a crucial conversation about things like promotions and when we feel stuck in our role and self-development and our responsibility for staying healthy and for transitions. And our team heard this conversation because they hit record and Jesse sent me the recording. And our team thought, there are topics here that would be really helpful for our listeners to hear. So take a listen.
I am excited today. We are having Tim Foote. Tim has been a friend back when I led the worship team. Tim was like the man behind the curtain. He was the emperor who was back there just telling me what to say in every meeting because I've never been a worship leader and don't know how to do what they do. And so he's become a friend, stayed a friend. And Tim, will you just share a little bit about just your history, your past? You've been in the local church, still in the local church, but now you lead Slingshot Group. And just tell everybody your love for the church, and then I'll explain what we're doing today.
So 30 plus years in ministry, and I still love it. Started in Tasmania, which is where I was born and raised. Many of you know my story. Moved to Sydney, where I did ministry and work in the music industry. That was my tent-making job to earn enough money to live in the city and do ministry. And then I moved to Longmont, Colorado, 23 years
ago this month. Upgrade. Let's go. The Mont.
Yeah, seriously. It was the lead pastor of the church that I went to was an incredible salesman because I lived in the best city in the world, Sydney, Australia, and I was never, ever going to leave. And he said, hey, come join the team at this church, Lifebridge, in Longmont. And I said, no way, no how. I'm never going to leave Australia, never going to leave Sydney. And then we went back and forth, and God did his thing and ended up here. Built ministry for 10 years, and then bivocationally started working with Slingshot shortly after that ministry started. And we were a handful of associates doing a handful of staff searches and coaching engagements. And it's just exploded in the last 13 years. I led their worship division for many years, privileged to do that. And then their senior leadership division, and then moved into the CEO role at the start of last year. We work with between 300 and 400 ministry organizations every year. Both placing people on teams and coaching people to break through, and have always loved just exploring what makes teams effective, what makes teams remarkable, what makes them tick, what stops them from moving forward. And in ministry, all problems seem to, or challenges seem to track back to a person. And how can you unlock an issue to move forward on mission and to move the vision forward? So being a part of that, it's holy work, especially when it comes to transition in ministry. When people move, God is on the move. And it's helping people understand when it's the right time to step into that holy tension or whether to stay right where you are, focus on your own personal growth, and continue to be a part of what God is doing.
Yeah. You talked about transitions. If you want to share just why you think that they're so important, but then also like why the church sometimes gets transitions wrong.
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to commend you, Jesse, for having this conversation today.
This is why I had him here, you know, like anytime he's like...
Because so often it's the elephant in the room. And it's corporations like Netflix and Microsoft and Amazon that are leading the way in leadership development and culture health when it should actually be the church. And I think part of the reason that the church space has been so unhealthy with transition is because it's been the elephant in the room. And when we commit to being a part of the story that God is writing, then we should always be able to talk about growth and transition. If you're not growing, you're going. If you're not growing, you're eventually going because you've hit a ceiling. And so we'll often say when people call us, hey, have you had conversation at the local level about this? Have you had conversation with your supervisor about this? Oh, I can't talk to them. Well, that's probably a bigger issue that needs to be looked at, because transition should always be on the table. It's like you're going to get offers in the ministry world. There's always going to be a church or situation that's willing to pay more money or in a sunnier zip code. But it's all about God's plan for your life, the story he's writing, and whether you're continuing to grow as a leader. And I had a mentor for many years that would say to the up-and-coming leaders in his organization, if you're meant to be here, you won't be doing the same job in 2 years' time, because you need to be growing in your role and in your skills. Now, if that means not doing the same job in 2 years' time somewhere else, well, maybe that's God's plan for your life, and that it was right that you move on. Staying where you are and stagnant robs you of realizing God's plan and his will in your life. So you've got to be willing to step into that unsafe space and explore, okay, is it long-term here? Is it possibly somewhere else? And so it's all part of the conversation. It's being open about that. As leaders, we want to be saying to our team, hey, I know you might get offers. I'd rather you talk to me about them. Because if it's the right offer for you, then let's celebrate that, and let's celebrate what you're moving to, what you're being called to rather than running from. But also give me an opportunity to say, hey, what if we set these growth goals in place for you? What if I gave you more of freedom to be creative and innovate in your role? Would that give you more excitement about staying here? You talked about the dream job. Well, we know there's no 100% dream job.
Sure.
But often we'll ask people who call us, leaders who call us, hey, if you could write your dream job, what would it be? Because let's work backwards from that. And then that gives you a good filter for what you're looking at and what you're considering. Often when people describe their dream job, I'll then ask them about their current job, and then I'll give them a bit slice of reality to say, hey, actually, you're closer to your dream job doing what you're doing right now than what I can tell you is out there.
Yeah, that's so good. And just on that note, how, when people take a new job and they step into it, like, what's some of the surprises that they step into?
It's never as exciting and easy as you think it's going to be.
Can anybody relate? You got to Flatirons and you're like, oh.
I remember when I said yes to ministry job 20 plus years ago, and I actually had, I think, like three or four months between roles because I was moving countries. And the whole time I was wanting to actually get there to find out what the job was really going to be like, because I felt like it had been oversold to me. But when you, especially when you're after a promotion that you have been wanting for a long time, you're never quite ready to sit in that seat. Mm. And there's always a level of pressure that you underestimate.
Sure.
So that's why when you sit in that, finally sit in that seat, you want to go, okay, what kind of support do I need for this? What kind of mentoring and coaching do I need to step into this role? Then you always realize why it took you so long to get there. Like when I've stepped into a new role or a promotion, I have always been so grateful for every minute, every hour, every month, and every year I had in my previous role. So you realize, oh, I realize why it took me so long to get here. And then you realize that the view is different from there. You realize the view is very different from there, and you miss your old job. I remember I talking to people who used to be volunteers in ministry, and then they got a ministry role, and they went to their former pastor and said, I wish I'd been a better volunteer.
Sure.
I wish I'd been a better volunteer. You will often see people promoted into a new leadership role, and at about the six-month mark, they'll start to gravitate back to the stuff they knew and loved about their old role, especially lead pastors. When we've seen lead pastors, people promote into a lead pastor position that perhaps were an executive pastor or another role in the organization, often they will gravitate back to what they used to know how to do. And the biggest piece of coaching advice we'll give to leaders that have stepped into a new role is keep promoting yourself. Keep promoting yourself into that role, because you often spend all your time earning your place at the table. You've already earned it. Wow. Now live in it.
Sure. That's so good. We're seeing so many transitions. You and I have talked about it. So many transitions in church world, people who are leaving for a different opportunity or quitting altogether. What are you seeing in that? Like, what are the factors?
So I think it was Barna Research found in the last year of people surveyed that 42% of pastors or people in ministry had considered quitting in the past year because of the stress of the job. I mean, it's climate. We all know the climate is so different right now. It's politically polarizing. We all experience it. People are feeling the pressure of that, but always focus back in on calling, because it's calling that's going to keep you in the job on the days you want to quit. So I would say to anybody today who's having a really challenging day, just take 15 minutes to get a really good coffee from Otis, if you're a coffee addict like I am, and sit there for 15 minutes and remember why you came here in the first place. Because it's calling that's going to keep you there on the days that you want to quit. I've had two ministries, two church, local church, and I'm still in local church ministry because of my first love. Two ministries in over 30 years of ministry, and I've watched people leave and wish they hadn't. So you do not want to leave a ministry job until you're released from that ministry job. You do not want to leave ministry on the toughest day unless you get fired. Then it's out of your hands. When you leave in the tough times, you miss out on what God has for you and the development work he's doing in your life. You never want to leave when it's too hard. We see leaders doing that all the time, and it breaks my heart and grieves me, because I know they're missing out on the formation work that God is doing in their lives. And then we're seeing people leave for calling. That's a good reason. People are called to something else. They're going to something rather than running from something. We're seeing people that are way more focused about where they want to live than their ministry calling. Now, I do not have a lot of time for that, because I told you the story about leaving Sydney. But hey, I moved to Denver. It's a pretty nice place to live.
Sure.
But still, it's like, go. Scripture is clear about going where God wants you to. What did Paul say? Who am I to say I'm going to go to this city or that city?
Wow.
I have realized so much of the wow of God's provision because I said yes to his call. And many in here have experienced that. But so many people are focused on location these days. So many people are focused on compensation. But I would say focus on the quality of the job rather than the compensation. I would much rather be at a place that I'm called to, that I'm fulfilled at, than a place that's just going to pay me more money. But there's so many different reasons people are quitting these days. What we're focusing on at Slingshot is continuing to tell the beautiful story about the redemptive work we get to do on the front lines of local church ministry. There's no better calling. I'm convinced of it.
Tim has a great podcast. It's called the Slingshot Group Podcast, and I would just highly recommend it. They've had some great leaders on there. You were talking about, like, when leaders are struggling, and you and I have talked through seasons where I've been struggling or unhappy or dealing with the pressure in the role. If somebody in their role is unhappy, what advice do you have for them? You talked about that on the podcast.
Yeah, the top advice, I don't know if you even said this on the podcast. The top advice is focus on getting healthy personally first. Focus on the one thing you can control. And what's that? Yourself. So look in the mirror and focus on getting healthy. A lot of leaders will come to us in coaching relationships and say, I can't survive in this environment. Well, firstly, there's a difference between dysfunction and toxicity, right? And we can survive with God's strength in any environment if we're called there, right? But let me tell you, every church is dysfunctional. No exceptions. So you leave one dysfunction, you're just trading it for another, right? And so I'll always say to a leader, hey, focus on getting healthy and living in a way that's livable and healthy for you. And if you get to that place and get fired, there's your answer. You couldn't work in that environment. But if you actually get healthy, which is usually the case, and actually things get better and you start to thrive in that role, like, sit down and make a list of the things that you need to change personally to get healthy in your leadership and in your life, personal life and leadership, and then live that way and see what happens. And then we'll have leaders call and they'll say, yeah, I want to quit. And I'll say, I actually think you should quit, but not your job. I think you should quit a number of things.
This is good, guys. You're going to want to take notes.
I think you should quit. There's five things, and I think you should quit these five things. Firstly, I think you should quit pleasing others. Quit trying to be liked and pleasing others. This comes from a reformed people pleaser. It's do your job. Do what God has called you to do. Quit trying to be a harmonizer and make the tough decisions you need to make. So quit people pleasing and being liked over being helpful. Quit delaying time off and self-care. Now, self-care is something we can push down the list. I am terrible at this, but prioritize self-care. And you might say, oh, I'm too busy for that. Well, then you got a bigger problem. You need to prioritize it. And you would know this. Your greatest stewardship responsibility is you. So prioritize, take responsibility for your own health and self-care. Look for life-giving activities, things outside of ministry, things outside of your job. Your job wasn't created to help you feel good. Your job was created to give you a life's vocation. It's your responsibility to find things outside of work that are life-giving and operate in a way that gives you a better quality of life.
Say that again.
Look for life-giving things outside of work. Was that the one?
No, the thing that you said after that. Your job.
Job wasn't created to fulfill your personal desires.
Thing.
So yeah, there's that. Quit doing this alone. Quit doing this alone. So often we isolate ourselves, and we know isolation never breeds anything good. Isolation is where addictions thrive. Isolation is where secrets live. Isolation is where dysfunction cultivates. So take responsibility for your own circle. We weren't designed to do this on our own. So look for people, not necessarily in ministry area here at Flatirons, that can be trusted confidants for you, but also look for cohorts, local networks, coaches, mentors, people that do the same thing that you do outside of Flatirons so you can keep your head up. Don't quit doing this alone. Don't do this alone. Quit delaying getting better and learning new things. I have a mentor that would always say, hey, you want to grow? Go new places, meet new people. Or he would always challenge us at the start of a new year. What new skill are you going to learn this year? Because if you learn something new, you're always growing. Quit delaying getting better and learning new things. Listen to podcasts. Go to gatherings. Talk to people who do totally different things than you do. Quit delaying getting better and learning new things. Quit listening to the wrong voices. Everyone will have an opinion about how you should do your job, right? Everyone. But sometimes you're the most unhelpful voice. You know, I will often say to leaders going through challenging times, and maybe we've talked about this, Jesse, quit listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. Because when you listen to yourself, it's an unfiltered voice, which is often full of anxiety. It's full of worst-case scenarios. It's full of worry. But when you talk to yourself in a disciplined, proactive way and use the truth we know from Scripture, that will put you on the right path. So quit listening to the wrong voices. So those are the things I think you should quit.
Tim, that's so good. And you've been such a good friend for me. And when you talk about expanding your circles, quit doing it alone. That's the thing when I stepped into this role a couple of years ago, I found that was so necessary was for me to have a couple friends outside this place that we could just have conversations about. And sometimes it was just about football. But I just needed to know, like, hey, there's somebody who's rooting for me, who's going to call me out when they need to, but just loves me across the country. It's just so, so valuable. Yep. To be a healthy leader here or your next ministry, I just want us to be able to think 5 years down the road. Does that make sense? Because God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for what you'll be doing. And like, I hope to God that for all of us, it's here. I also just realistically know that might not be the case, and God may have somewhere else where you're going to take what God's done with you here and what God's done with you up until this point and go bless another ministry, bless another church with it. And so what are the things to keep in front of us when it comes to being healthy in ministry? Yeah.
So many things. Firstly, back to that growing piece, you always want to be on a growth trajectory. you always want to be on a growth trajectory. So make sure that you're at the beginning of each ministry season, beginning of the year, beginning of the fall, what am I doing to grow? You'll also want to be revisiting your own personal list of values that you want to be known for as a leader. Now, this is something if you start a new role, you get an opportunity to reinvent, but you can continue to reinvent that during the course of ministry. So if you step into a new role or you're reevaluating, you mightn't even have a list of 5 to 10 things that you want to be known for. If you don't, I would encourage you sometime soon, take a day, take a half day where you can get away and just journal about what you want to be known for in ministry, because those values are what you will filter all of your choices through. Okay, I want to be known to be relational. I want to be known to be a hard worker. I want to be known to be innovative. So when you look at new opportunities, you can put them through a filter of the things that you want to be known for as a leader. And then, like Jesse, you said, you need to have those voices that are speaking into your life. You know, when I stepped into this new role at Slingshot at the start of last year, I knew I would need help to not just be a good CEO of Slingshot, but to also still be a good husband and father. For so many years, I was doing different roles. My plate was full, and I didn't neglect my family. I didn't neglect my church. I didn't neglect the outside ministry work I was doing. The person that I left out was me. And I got really good at doing that. And that the cracks started to show. And I don't even realize they're showing, but I take those frustrations out on the people that are closest to me. And still when I do that, I don't realize that's the reason I'm doing it. I make it about them and not about me. Mm. And again, the big headline is our greatest stewardship responsibility is ourselves. Yep. Now, some of you might need to actually work a little bit harder. And so it's like, okay, what do I want to be known for? I want to be known for being a hard worker. What does that look like? It looks like adding value at the most critical times. It looks like talking to my supervisor and asking, hey, what are the top 5 things that hit your radar when it comes to my leadership? That's a gift to ask a supervisor that. When they say, this is important to me. So what do you take care of first every week? Those things. And then that gives you the freedom to be creative with the things that are life-giving. It's prioritizing those things. It's continuing to steward well what you've been given. And it's scriptural. When you do that well, what's going to happen? You're going to be given more.
You, on the podcast, you had a QUIT acronym.
I love a good acronym. The first letter of the word reminds you of the value of the word. And sometimes I can get a little distracted with things. But QUIT, Q for quiet yourself and listen to what God is saying and lead how he wants you to lead. And so if you've got so many things coming your way, just take some time out. Time out and listen to what. Talk to Jesus first. It's a Sunday school answer. It's the right answer. Q for quiet. U for unify with others who do what you do. Don't do this alone. U for unify. I for initiate new ideas and grow. You know, how as a musician, I remember two leadership lessons I learned as a musician. One is I always loved it when I was the weakest musician on the stage. I always played better. And so I always want to be the weakest leader in the room. Great leaders build teams and are confident enough in their leadership. They build teams of leaders that are better than they are. So I learned that, and I also learned that when I learned a new song or did something new musically or bought a new instrument, I got new life in what I was doing. It gave me new life. It gave me new energy. And so when you have new ideas and new initiatives and want to go new directions, it will re-energize you and you'll grow. So I for initiate or innovate, whichever you prefer, and T, talk to yourself. Don't listen to yourself. We talked about that one. You know, a great breath prayer is, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing in this situation. You know, as a leader, in my early years of leadership, I used to freak out when people would come to me and say that they were leaving. And now I've learned to take a breath and to be a part of what God's doing in that situation, because I don't want to be a part of anything else. Why I pray every week, God, give me an extra measure of discernment and awareness to see where you're at work, because that's what I want to be involved in. I don't want to waste my time on anything else.
Yeah. You just talk a little bit about promotions. Like, first of all, like, in your mind, is it wrong to want a promotion? Because I've heard, like, growing up, it was just like, you should not be ambitious at all. You know, you should just do what God has you doing and leave the rest up to Him. Can you share some insider input on that?
Ambition is great. If I wasn't ambitious, I'd still be living on a little island close to Antarctica on the southeastern side of Australia. Ambition got me off that island, and it's been an absolute adventure. When you say yes to God, that also can equal ambition. So it's not wrong to be ambitious and to want to grow, but examine why you specifically want that promotion and focus on the right reasons and God's biggest story. So that's where journaling is a great thing, is sit down and go, hey, why am I so drawn to this? Why is this such a driving force for me? Because if it's not healthy reasons, you're going to get totally exposed when you get into that role. If you get that role before it's time to get that promotion or that role, it's going to be rough. And it's going to be one of the most challenging seasons you've had in your life and career. So you want to examine, hey, why do I want to step in that role? What is it that I believe God is doing? Really, what story is He writing? And then this is a big one. List the benefits of your current role and focus on what you'll lose if you leave that role. Because often there's a ton of freedom and trust you have right now, and you move into a new role, and it's going to take away things that you couldn't ever have imagined it would take away unless you'd actually sat down and thought it through. Wow. You know, it's like when people say to us, hey, I've been at a church 10, 15 years. I need more money. I'm going to go somewhere else. And I said, well, how much money do you think you're going to make somewhere else? And they'll say it. And I said, and how long do you think it will take for you at that new place to earn the trust and freedom that you have in your current place? Longevity, trust, and freedom is equal to tens of thousands of dollars worth of salary. So you have to weigh up all the pros and cons. I mean, go back to the old-fashioned way of listing the pros and cons on a piece of paper. I mean, that is always a great way to go, okay, do I really want to go after this? Or do I want to wait until I'm really sensing God's leading me to it?
Man, you were telling me when we were hanging in your backyard, you were just talking about the benefits of longevity and this idea of, like, when you've been at a place for over 10 years, things happen two or three times as easily, two or three times as fast. Can you talk about just how you've seen that in your time at LifeBridge? Because you've been there for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
A little bit more?
Yeah, it's influence. I mean, once you have done the hard yards with people, I'm just saying that in American so you can get
the
it.
Hard yards.
The hard yards with people. There's a trust that is grown that nothing but time and investment can cultivate. And it allows you to get things done quicker. It allows you to move change through quicker. I mean, we see it when we're doing lead pastor searches in other churches, is you'll have a lead pastor that's been there for 20 years, and we'll always say, hey, please don't make the mistake when the new leader comes in of comparing their beginning to your transitioning leader's end. Because there's so much trust that's grown up over the years. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm part-time still at my local church, and I'm so grateful because that's an anchor point in the best possible way for me. I love still being involved at the local church. I wouldn't be able to just go to another church now and be part-time and have the kind of involvement influence I do. It's after 20 years of doing the hard yards and doing the hard years of ministry and investing in relationship and doing life. And it does get easier. It does. It's like, it's like a marriage. There's peaks and there's valleys. And when you quit in the valley, you miss out on the peaks. And so it's weathering through that day in and day out. And the rewards are amazing.
That's great. One of the things, I had this vision of having a bunch of Slingshot representatives here, not to like poach people or anything like that, but more of just to go like have conversations about your future and go like, man, I think it would be really fun. I'm a worship leader right now, and I'd love to be a worship director or kind of the overall worship pastor, lead a team 5 years from now. What are the specific things I should be working on for that role, you know, in that role? And we can't do that for everybody. I do think that you should have conversations about what that next role is for you. Just generally, what are the conversations or what are the things people should be thinking about growing in their leadership that could apply to anybody in any role here if they're looking to grow toward the next role?
Okay. The big thing everybody's talking about these days is soft skills. So EQ rather than IQ. Back in school, I didn't test very well on the IQ test. Yeah, and my mum was a teacher at the, I think it was elementary school, middle school, at the school. And they're like, "You worried about Tim's IQ results?" She goes, "Nah, he's good with people." I remember when I was at, I think it was Lake of the Ozarks, and somebody was trying to get me to water ski. I cannot water ski. Please don't judge me. But I've got no upper body strength. And I'm a runner. I don't lift. My 16 and 14-year-olds lift, and I can't even shift the bar off the, I can't even move it an inch. Anyway, I remember at the 13th time of trying to get me to water ski, he was pulling me back into the boat, and I was a broken man. And he said, "Well, you're good with people." And that, I would say, is the greatest leadership skill to hone in as you grow as a leader. It has served me better than anything else. Are people skills and EQ. And then the six most important words, let me take care of it. As a leader, when you just take care of things, it automatically grows your sphere of leadership. If you can keep things off your supervisor's desk, problems off your supervisor's desk, and take care of them before they even get there, you are naturally going to grow in your leadership and have opportunities. What are the six most important words? Let me take care of it. And then commitment to the mission. Knowing the mission of the organization you serve in, owning the mission, embodying the mission, living the mission out, even when you don't agree with parts of it. You know, if you can be in an office with your supervisor or your team or leadership team and have a great debate about what you don't agree with, but then walk out arm in arm, sold out to the mission, that's good leadership. We are never going to agree with everything. There are things I don't agree with at the church that I'm a part of. There are things you don't agree with at the church that you're a part of, but we're called to be a part of the local church, which is not just an organization, it's a family, and you don't abandon your family when you don't agree with them, right? And so be sold out to the mission, and then don't forget the M&Ms, right? The ability to motivate and mediate. Motivate and mediate. If you can motivate people to go after something, that's an incredible attribute of leadership. And if you can mediate well when people disagree, those are great, great partners right there.
Gosh, that's so good. Motivate and mediate. I've not put those two together. One of my quests for 2024 is about growing in self-awareness. Because Kara, my wife, when I was on sabbatical, somebody asked her, she was just like, "How is Jesse different on sabbatical than he is, you know, in real life?" And she's like, "He's less intense." And I was like, "I'm not intense like that." And I just like, and it's one of those things where everybody laughed, but I was like, "I guess I am intense. And I just don't know that about myself." And so I'm trying to grow in some self-awareness. How would you coach me and other leaders to ask for feedback on growth areas? Like, what's the best way to get feedback?
The straightforward ones are always ask a supervisor. Always be asking who supervises you, what can I do better and how can I grow? That's the first person to ask. And they give you data points that are going to be more helpful than anything because they're the ones that are evaluating you. Then ask other team members. Be open about how you lead. I remember when I was leaving Australia, I said to a guy I worked with who was also a close friend, "How do you think I'm going to do in this new role?" He said, "Oh, you'll be great as long as you have somebody really organized that works with you." And that was the best advice, and I got that person, and it really helped. So ask other team members. They'll tell you. And then ask trusted friends who have always told you the truth. That's an important one. Ask trusted friends that have always told you the truth. And then therapy. I'm just a huge proponent of that. You know, my times with Harv are so helpful when it comes to self-awareness. And then I know, I mean, Mandy will come to a lot of those with me, my wife, and I know that there is times that I'm harshest on her. Yeah. And for her to be able to say things in that room that deepen my self-awareness, but just him making me realize that the telemetry piece. Has he talked to the team about telemetry?
Has he talked to us about telemetry?
listening to yourself, realizing, how would you describe telemetry?
Telemetry is like the things that, like he would, we had the sexual integrity conference, and he would say, typically a sexual integrity issue is less about lust or the issue at hand, and it's more telemetry on something that's going on inside your heart. Yeah. That's like, he said, oftentimes it's loneliness, oftentimes it's lack of self-worth that then leads you to that affirmation. But it's less about that, and it's more about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's being aware of those messages. You're always getting messages from yourself. It's whether or not you listen to them. I remember Harv telling me one time, he goes, so tell me, you know, if you take a day just for Tim in the next 2 weeks, what are you going to do on that day? And I sat there and he goes, I can see what's going on right now. He said, I can see that you've pulled down the drop down menu and it's empty. And it was such an eye-opener for me. And then also making me see that times I would lash out at other people were way more about my disappointment in myself and my own self-care than other people letting me down. Because, again, we need to steward ourselves.
Gosh, that's so good. Just if you guys want to ask your question, we've got a few in here, so text me your questions. This is from somebody who's been relatively new on staff within the last year. In your experience, how long does it take for a transition to stop being a transition?
It takes 5 years in a ministry role to start affecting culture change. Now, some people will do it sooner, but you spend the first 2 years actually learning the organization. I mean, when you land, it's like a parachute drop. So imagine you're in the forest and you've been dropped into the middle of it and you're just finding out, okay, what do I do? What are my surroundings? And if I step this way, am I going to step on a landmine? That's why you've got to rely on the team that's surrounding you. Don't come in and be the hero thinking you need to have all the answers. Ask lots of questions. That's also one of the number one values in leadership is be curious. Ask questions because that's how you learn. That's how you you increase that ROI on your on the hire of you, if you know what I mean. But 5 years, and then the culture that you've been trying to bring about in that specific ministry area is going to start reproducing itself. The good stuff happens in year 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. But the transition stop. I always say to people that are moving to a new place or a new church, it's going to start to feel like home after 2 years. Some quicker, but usually around 2 years.
That's helpful. That's so good. Somebody asked, how can you discern between somebody who's struggling with growing into a new role, so there's just a lot of growth to do, or it's the Peter principle and it's just not the right role? How would you help somebody discern through that? It's a good question.
Yeah. I think, again, it's being honest about the struggle. And it's asking great questions. Okay, it's talking with your supervisor about, hey, what are you seeing? What else do I need to do to move deeper into this role and to grow in this role? And then it's being honest with that struggle and keeping that conversation on the table, because sometimes we just step into roles that we weren't ready for. And you don't want to give up too soon, but you want to call it when it's time, because maybe God is doing something else in this. And we'll talk to a lot of leaders in crisis, a lot of leaders. And we'll look back, we'll tell them, you'll look back in 5 years, 10 years time, and you'll see why you had to go through this to get to whatever you did next. And so it's open conversation about that and not being closed off to conversation about that. When you're closed off, that's when it ends badly.
Man, that's good. Somebody asked that tips for leading or influencing side to side. So people at the same level within the organization, but in different departments.
Relational equity would be the words that I would use with that. You have to learn how to lead through a relationship, and you have to do the hard work and put in the hours of relational investment. Because if you don't have relational equity with people that you are leading with or leading, then anytime you have to have a tough conversation, it becomes personal. But if you've spent the time to get to know a person, to spend time with them, you have coffee or lunch once a month or however, you've learned their story, you've learned their struggles, you've communicated interest and care to them, then when you have the tough conversations, even though they're tough, they know that you're for them. But if you haven't paid the relational bill, so to speak, and really dug in, it's going to go south quickly. So always focus on gaining relational equity with each other.
If somebody wants a promotion, can you talk about the right way to pursue a promotion and maybe less good ways of pursuing a promotion, like just saying, hey, if I don't get this promotion, I'm leaving, yeah. or, you know, I want this promotion. Like, just give us the best practices and maybe some of the worst practices about that.
Well, firstly, like we talked, you want to be introspective about it to start with. You want to pray about it. I would say, hey, take 3 to 4 weeks to pray and fast. And if you're married, talk with your spouse about it. Have them pray and fast too and see what God is saying to them about it. Talk to trusted friends about it and say, hey, I'm praying about pursuing this. Can you pray with us for a few weeks and then let us know what you sense God is saying to you so that you get confirmation first. And then go to your supervisor and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm interested in growing. Growing further here and potentially growing into this role. If this role was for me, what would you need to see? So you can get those data points and then you can start working diligently on those data points. It's hard work. It's always hard work. And you know, you often know if it's God's call on your life and if it's a promotion that he has for you, if there's sacrifice involved. If there is sacrifice involved in that next step, then it's usually from God. That's what I've learned over the years. It's not biblical. I've just given you what I've learned and my experience. But if there's if it's all, you know, roses, then not sure. But if there's sacrifice and challenge and growth required, then God is often in it. And getting those data points from a supervisor of what to work on and start to move into some of those responsibilities. Like earn those responsibilities. When your supervisor sees you actually doing the job naturally, that's when it's clear that God is leading you in that direction.
Yeah, that's good. This is a tough question. What makes somebody unpromotable? You can just talk about at Slingshot. What, or in your previous experience, what would make somebody unpromotable? Are there any characteristics there?
I think it's results. If you're not seeing growth out of that person's role or ministry area, organizational area, that person is just staying steady the whole time and there's no personal growth, there's no organizational. If that person is not lifting the team, you know, you put another boat in the harbor, the water rises. If the water's not rising, then you can see that. It's when you look objectively at a person and the job that they're doing and there's just not fruit, then that person, they might be fulfilling a role and the job's getting done, but they're probably not going to be growing beyond that position.
Sure. No, that's good. Advice for somebody in a new leadership role and leading people who used to be peers. So you did this at Slingshot, right? Like you were peers with a group of people and then you started leading them. Any advice or best practices around that?
Get their advice. Get their advice on how they feel you should lead. Affirm them and their leadership. Ask them how you can serve them. That's pretty much a biblical principle of Jesus.
Sure.
Ask them how you can serve them and help them enjoy their job. Ask them how you can help them achieve their ministry dreams. And then keep investing relationally and inviting them into the challenges. So often we step into a new leadership role and we think we have to have the answers. The greatest leaders ask the best questions. And so those people that used to be peers that you're now leading, actually ask them questions about what they think needs to happen. And they know that you won't be able to do everything that they tell you to do, but it gives you helpful information to grow as a leader and to lead them.
Any tips on leadership insecurity? When you feel insecure in your leadership?
So I sat on Harv's couch one time and he said, how many CEOs do you think come in here and sit on that couch and think they know what they're doing? Zero. We are all insecure. And you know what? We should celebrate it because there's plenty of room for God to show up. We want to be attempting something so great for him that it's doomed to fail unless he's in it. And so insecurity can be a spiritual gift.
Gosh.
You wake up every day. I mean, open the verse for the day. What is it? Those people who do you version. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. We're all insecure. Just name it, own it, celebrate it, and trust the one who is our confidence. I remember early in my ministry and in my marriage, I would often listen to myself more than I would talk to myself. And it was the unfiltered anxiety and worry and worst case scenarios and fixating on things and spinning out on things. And I would lie awake at night and toss and turn. I'd wake Mandy up, and every now and then she'd say to me, you know, I believe in you and I think you're good at your job, but not that good. Trust Jesus and go back to sleep. Embrace your insecurity.
The note on scripture too. I was in Nashville this last week, and we were just brainstorming best practices for campus pastors. And one person said, memorize scripture. And he was like, because if you want to hear God's voice, God's voice so often is going to sound like his word. And so, like, let him pull from that bank. And so I just
Speaking to me, people will say, read your Bible. It's the greatest tool we have. He's speaking to all of us. You think he's not speaking to you? Then, yeah, read your Bible.
A couple more, just some personal habits that have helped you be effective and productive as a leader.
Personal health is huge. I'm a runner. I come from a marathon running family, competitive family, but I have never run a marathon. And I wanted to at one time, and I called my dad, who's my best friend. We have a great relationship, and he's been a coach and mentor in my life. And I said, I'm thinking of training for a marathon this year, Dad. He said, don't do it. I said, why would you tell me not to do it? He said, because you'll be a slave to the schedule, you don't have the time, and you'll get injured, and you'll lose what is your health and sanity. And so I run 3 times, 4 times a week, 3 miles a time, and it absolutely grounds me. When I go 4 or 5 days without doing it, I can tell. And it's actually my thin space. It's where I feel close to God. It's where I work things through. I don't listen to music. I don't take a device. I just go out there, and we have the front range. And you know what that looks like when the sun first rises in the morning? There's so much to worship when you're out there doing that. But find out what it is for you. I'm sure for many of you it is not running. But find out what it is for you. But just health and stewarding yourself makes you a better leader. Looking after yourself makes you a better leader. And then it's how you start and end the day. Do not reach for your phone every morning and go straight to social media. Do not end the day on social media. It will do nothing good in your life. Start the day with scripture, end the day with scripture, because it sets the tone for the day and it sets the tone for your rest. And be disciplined about that.
That's good. One of the things that I've talked about with leaders is just saying discipline breeds discipline. And sometimes it's finding, like, what I find is when I'm struggling having a quiet time consistently, I go for a run or go work out, and then I tag. And I think that one of the guys that writes on habits talks about stacking habits. Right. But there really is this thing where when you're disciplined in one area, it starts to breed discipline in others. So I love that.
When I start a day, I like Lectio 365 too, when I'm stretching out for my run. If you don't know that, check it out. It's a great way of focusing you on scripture. When I start the day in scripture with a run, the day goes better. My mind's in a better place. And I think it takes 28 days for a habit to form. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, form healthy habits, because it'll make a huge difference in your life and leadership, your relationships. Yeah.
A couple more transition-related questions, and then we'll just ask you for some final thoughts. But somebody who's new to the role and new to leading a team, how do you gain influence and trust quickly? You shared some of that, but any best practices?
New to the role, new to the team, you have an amazing opportunity to reinvent your leadership. The few times that I've started a new role in a new team, it's like, oh, I get to decide what I'm not going to be known for now. And what was draining to me in leadership in my last place, I have a friend that says you get a new bottom rung. You get a new bottom rung every time you start somewhere new. And it takes 6 months for people to make their mind up about you. And then after that first 6 months, it's really hard to unmake their mind up about you. And so if you're starting a new role on a new team, revisit that list of values that you want to be known for in leadership, and then focus on doing actions that bring about people knowing those things about you. And so use that as a filter to direct your leadership in the first 6 months, and you will have formed habits by then anyway. So you're going to continue to perpetuate. But you've got a great opportunity to be known for those things you want to be known for, especially in those first 6 months.
Man. Advice somebody who's transitioning from industry world to church world. Just any advice around that?
It's really hard. Having watched a lot of transitions over the years from marketplace to ministry is really hard because you're moving from a secular environment into an environment that's all tied up with your faith journey and your family and your church and all of that. And it's never as divine and wonderful as you think it's going to be. Working for a church is hard work, and often harder than marketplace. You know, I've worked with executive pastors in churches on building teams that were like VP of American Airlines, had dinner at the White House with the president multiple times, fought in World War II and got sprayed with Agent Orange, and said that working in the church is the hardest thing he's ever done. So don't go in with rose-colored glasses. Take those glasses off and put normal ones on, because it can get pretty ugly.
Man. We'll just leave you with that, guys, you know. Last question, and then any final thoughts. But like, we do have people who step into new roles here, and they're in the middle of crisis, or they're dealing from some baggage from the last place that they were in, or their whole family is trying to get used to living in a new city. And how would you recommend somebody who's stepping in? They're trying to like make those first 6 months count, but at the same time, they got sick family, or they've got an overwhelmed spouse, or kids who aren't fitting in at school, and they're balancing all that stuff with trying to make a great first impression. What advice do you have around that?
Don't hide it. Do not hide the struggle. Be really honest with your team and the people that you're working with, because you will get through it. And it actually can deepen relationships when you pray about that, when you walk through that. Be patient with your family, if it's your family that's struggling. Give them the support they need. We've seen leaders totally implode when they've moved because they didn't foresee certain things happening. So walking in, be honest, but hey, what you're talking about, you're already here and you're already in it. And so just do not hide it and do not isolate.
Really,
because actually it can be an opportunity, if you're open-handed, to really deepen relationships and long-term connection, because you're working through the struggles. But so often we'll see leaders that just want to button it up and they need to see that I'm good at this and I have to have the answers. And don't hide the struggle, because the struggle is real and we all have real lives and we've all been through tough stuff. And if we haven't been through tough stuff, we're going to go through tough stuff. So just be totally honest about that struggle.
Man, that's good. Guys, well, you'll appreciate Tim. For him to just share that, like, off the top of your head, 20 questions, that's not easy. Appreciate you sacrificing the time. I know how busy you are, and to invest in our staff and our team and our church. Just so grateful for you. And so you know us, you know me really well, you know us, helped place probably 15 or so people here, as well as just followed Flatirons. Any specific word for us, encouragement for us, challenge for us, and then would you just pray for us, and then we'll end Devo that way?
I get to see a lot of churches, and I just want you to know and feel that Flatirons is having a huge impact. Karen would know this. Whenever one of our team members comes to Flatirons and works on a search, I always say to them, you better do good, because this one's personal for me. Because this is Front Range. This is home. And the impact that you're having on the surrounding community is incredible. And so I want you to know that, because so often your heads are down and you're feeling the challenges of ministry and you don't see the ripple effect, not just locally but nationally. People watch Flatirons because you innovate, because you do things differently, because you're so honest about how you do ministry. So know that you're having a greater impact than you probably feel day to day. Know that you have leadership that cares about you, that invests in you in ways that you don't even know or realize. Know that you have leadership that are open to questions. And so if you're struggling with something, ask questions. And they'll give you answers. And they'll be honest with you, because that's just who this church is. And I just want to remind you, each of you, that your growth is not the leadership's responsibility here at Flatirons. It's your responsibility. And again, I've said it a number of times throughout this, that your greatest stewardship responsibility is you. and then it's your ministry, and then it's how you live out the values of Flatirons. Are you leading the way in every area? So are you taking care of your own spiritual walk? Are you investing your resources in this ministry? Are you leading in a way that people will follow and follow the mission of Flatirons? There's no higher calling and more beautiful thing than serving in the local church. And we get to do this together. And so remember that get to attitude. Yeah. I pray for us.
Pray for us.
Yeah. God, thank you for this day that you have made and your mercies that are new and fresh today. Thank you for each person in this room. But most of all, God, thank you for your presence in this room. We know, God, that there are so many different things at play today. Personalities, agendas, energy levels, struggles, insecurities, political divides, and then there's a spiritual realm, all kinds of battles going on. God, we open our hands afresh to you today, knowing that you are ultimately in control and that you are sovereign. So we bring to you our struggles. We bring to you our challenges today. And we trust, God, that you're leading the way. Pray for perspective today as we lead and as we serve. Pray for wisdom for each one that today we might grow to be more like you. For an extra measure of trust that we might step out and take the risks that you're inviting us to step into. And God, yes, wisdom and discernment to see where you're at work, awareness to see where you're at work, to be a part of what you're doing. And so, God, over each leader in this room today, I pray the prayer that never fails. And that is, Lord, your will be done. In your great name. Amen.
Amen. Tim, thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Well, I hope that was helpful to you and your team to actually hear another team wrestling through some of these issues to stay healthy. If you'd like to share this with another leader, please do. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe, because we are committed to having those conversations that resource you in your leadership, to talk about the things that you're thinking about that maybe nobody's talking about. So we hope you continue to join us. In the meantime, stay curious and reach for the remarkable.